We trust you enjoyed that number, sung by the late Jimmy Davis, who was the governor of Louisiana for two terms. And I'll tell you right now, he was a good governor. He left the state with a surplus, which is more than our politicians are doing at this present hour. Now, this is the mercies of God coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that Thou art on the throne, a sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-powerful God, who knows everything, sees everything, and controls everything. And we bow before Thee in gladness and adoration, because Thou art such a long-suffering, personal, wonderful Lord of glory. We give Thee all the praise and the honor and the glory, because it belongs to Thee. And Lord, we bow before Thee, thanking You again and praising You for Thy great salvation, and thanking You for the privilege of knowing Thee. We thank Thee also that we have this privilege of broadcasting Thy truth via the means of radio. And we ask, Lord, that Thou wilt take this broadcast and use it for Thy glory and honor. Send it forth in power and might as only Thou art able. And then, Lord, cause those souls out there who need to hear Thee, cause them to hear Thy blessed voice as it comes through by means of radio. Oh, we ask You again, take and use this as a communication of Thine to reach some soul out there, not only for salvation, but also for edification and strength, because, Lord, Thy people are suffering, and Thou dost know it better than we do. And so we pray, take charge as only Thou art able, and thank You again for this precious privilege. We ask, Lord Jesus, for Thy sake. Amen. As mentioned before, this is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're delighted to come into your homes by the means of radio. Some of you hear us in the morning, some in the afternoon, some at night, but whenever it is that you hear us, we're counted a privilege to be a radio guest in your home. We want you to do these three things for us, if you will. Number one, if you're on praying ground, pray for us. Number two, tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast, if you will. That's the best way to get it out. And then number three, drop us a letter or a card. Our mailing address is very simple. It's the Mercies of God Association, or you may abbreviate it, put MOGA down, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Let me repeat it again. The Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Your letters and cards are the encouragement to keep on keeping on with this broadcast, and we praise the Lord for every one of you that helped support the broadcast. We're not underwritten by anybody, but we trust the Lord to supply every need, and thus far, He's been doing it for the past 10 years, and we just praise His name for it. Now, let's get quiet there on the radio, if it's possible. If not, listen carefully if you're driving down the highway, and then we'll bring you a message from, we'll bring you another song, and then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. Remember, we'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us. Turn with me, if you will, to the first chapter of the book of Jonah. Today we're going to start a series of messages on the book of Jonah. And our subject this morning is, or today, whenever it is you hear me, is the message of Jonah. As we start this series of messages, it is important that we understand this book, because it sets forth clearly one of the clearest types of Christ in the Old Testament. Christ Himself put His stamp of approval upon the book of Jonah. And so before we go into that, I want to read with you verses 1 down through verse 12. Listen to what it says. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it with them to go unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then were the mariners afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. As we study this portion of the Word of God this morning, or today, whenever it is that you hear us, we want you to look with us, first of all, at the importance of this book. Many people today will minimize the importance of this book. Some will go so far to say that it shouldn't be found in the Word of God, that it's not inspired. But I want you to notice with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 12, and look at verses 38 through 40, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself put his stamp of approval upon the book of Jonah. So everyone and anyone who disputes the book of Jonah is also disputing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that very clearly. In Matthew chapter 12, and beginning at verse 38, we read, Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Here you have the Lord Jesus Christ putting his stamp of approval upon the book of Jonah. Not only is it given that way in the book of Matthew, but we find also in the book of Luke, we find practically the same thing set forth. And so I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 11, and look with me at verses 29 and 30, where we read these words. Listen again to the Word of God, and follow along in your Bible if you can. If you can't do that, I hope you'll listen very carefully. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation, and they seek a sign. But there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The men of the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation, and condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Now here you have the importance of the book of Jonah. We find that you and I are living in a day in which one sign after another is being set forth, and people are reveling and making money on the preaching of signs and so on and so forth. But I want to tell you point blank, my friend, the only sign that's been given to this generation is the sign of Jonah. And Jonah is a picture of the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are absolutely dependent upon Christ. Now, as I've said these things for you this morning, or today, whenever it is that you hear us, I want you to turn back with me to the first chapter of the book of Jonah. And for a few moments today, we're going to look at Jonah, who's a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, when you study the Word of God, you need to do this. You need to look for two things, especially when you study the Word of God. Number one, you need to find out how God saves a sinner. You see, the salvation of God is put on just about every page of the Word of God. Now, it is found as we dig deep into the things of the Lord God of heaven. And before we get through with this book, we'll show you that the doctrine of salvation is set forth very clearly in this first chapter. But the second thing you want to look at is this. The second thing you need to look for as you study the Word of God is you need to look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, God's theme of the Bible, or the theme of the Bible, which is God's theme, is redemption. God is so interested in the salvation of sinners that he wants everybody to know about it, and he puts the theme of redemption on practically every page in the Word of God. The second thing that we look at is the most important person in the entire Bible. It's not Moses, it's not David, it's not Jonah, it's not Peter. The most important person is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Word of God, you can look at it more or less from the way you read a storybook. Preacher, what are you talking about? Well, if any of you have ever gone to school, you had to give a book report in your classroom. And what did you do? When you gave the book report, here's what you had. You had the theme of the book report, and then you also had the main characters in it. Well, the theme of the Word of God is redemption. The main personage or character, I use that term reverently, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to see if we can find the Lord Jesus Christ on the pages of this book. I know we can, because he's written there over and over and over again. In the Old Testament, there are many types in the Word of God that tell us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you look at typology, you need to remember one thing, that the type has to correspond in the New Testament with Christ, or else it is not a true picture of the Lord Jesus. However, with regard to the book of Jonah, we'll find here in this portion of the Word of God that Jonah is a marvelous picture or type of the Lord Jesus Christ by three things, if I may use this term. First of all, he's a type of Christ by his name. Secondly, he's a type of Christ by his commission. And thirdly, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ by his experience. And fourthly, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ by his responsibility. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, as we look at the book of Jonah, we find this morning in verse, or today, whenever it is that you hear us, we read these words. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Here we have Jonah's name. The word name, the word Jonah means dove. Now, a dove is a bearer of good news. And in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 8, we have that set forth for our learning. You remember when Noah was in the ark, what did he do? We find he sent forth a dove. And on the 8th chapter of Genesis, and we find in the 8th verse, this is what happened when Jonah set forth that dove. Listen to it, if you will. And also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him under the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive tree, or olive leaf, I should say, plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the face of the earth. Now, why is the name Jonah mean dove? The dove is a bearer of good news. And, beloved, Jonah was a bearer of good news, of God's salvation to the city of Nineveh. The Lord Jesus Christ is also the bearer of good news. Is there a sinner out there? You may have the idea that there's no hope for you. Well, listen to what the Word of God says. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And, beloved, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. This is the good news that needs to be preached and set forth from all over this entire world. And Jonah is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, by his name. It means dove, and he was a bearer of good news. Then, the second thing about Jonah, he was the son of Amittai. And the word Amittai means truth. And again, you have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth of God. He said very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, or have you minimized his importance with regard to your salvation? If you aren't trusting Christ completely and wholly and entirely, then put it down. You'll never make the eternal gates of glory. The third thing about Jonah was this. Not only is his name mean dove, not only is his father's name Amittai, but we find also that Jonah had a commission. And here again, he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember, the Lord Jesus said that Jonah was the prophet. And so Jonah was commissioned by God to do what? To preach the truth of God. And at least two times in the scripture and more, the word prophet refers to Jonah. In 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 25, Jonah is mentioned as the prophet. In Matthew chapter 18, I should say, in chapter 12, I should say, and verse 38 through 40, Jonah is mentioned again as a prophet. And he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in Matthew chapter 21, and we find in verses 10 and 11, when the Lord Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem, riding upon that donkey, people were asking very clearly, who is it that came up? Well, in verse 10 and 11 we read, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So Jonah is a picture of Christ by his name. Jonah is a picture of Christ by his Father's name. Jonah is also a picture of Christ by his commission. He is a prophet of the Lord God of heaven. But then there's another aspect that we need to look at for just a moment or two. What about Jonah? What about his experience? His experience also parallels that of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17 we read, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to follow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. This corresponds exactly with the Lord Jesus Christ. So go back again, if you will, to Matthew chapter 12, or listen carefully, where we read these words in verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Here's the experience of Jonah. He spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, and that fish was at the bottom of the sea. And then we find the Lord Jesus Christ spent 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and he arose again from the dead, has ascended up on high, and is seated at this very moment in the at the right hand of the Majesty on high, waiting for the time when his enemies will become his footstool. Now, you let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Then we see Jonah was not only 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, but he was a sign for this evil generation. And again, we find very clearly, look at what it says in verse 39 of chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. People today are asking all kinds of signs. They're looking at this sign, they're looking at that sign. But God said that we who are composed his church, we are to walk by faith, and we find very clearly, as Jonah is a sign to the Israelites, or the generation, I should say, Jonah was a sign to this evil generation, so we find it's the only sign that's been given. And the only sign that's been given with regard to the Lord God of heaven is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the last thing about Jonah for this time, we find very clearly, Jonah was not only a sign for the evil generation as the Lord Jesus Christ is, but then we find also Jonah was responsible for the salvation of many. Now you say, Pastor, what were you talking about? Well, in Jonah chapter 1 and verses 14 through 16, we find that the men on that ship, in order to be saved, what had to happen? They had to completely depend upon Jonah, and they had to cast Jonah overboard. In other words, Jonah more or less had to die for those men that they might be saved. And there again, he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jonah also we see very clearly, was responsible not only for the salvation of those sailors, but he was responsible also for the salvation of the many in the city of Nineveh. You see, the people in Nineveh had to believe Jonah. The people on the ship had to believe Jonah. And beloved, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only means of God for salvation, because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is one mediator between God and man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is none else. And he is responsible for the salvation of many. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, not everybody believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I know that. And those that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. In John 8:24, the Lord Jesus says these words, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sin." The men of Jonah, or I should say the men of Nineveh, they had to believe Jonah. The sailors on the ship had to believe Jonah, because there was no salvation any other way. And today, we find that people of the world have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is none other. Jonah was a sign for an evil generation. Jonah was responsible for the salvation of many. The Lord Jesus Christ is a sign given to this generation, his death, burial, and resurrection. And the Lord Jesus Christ is responsible for the salvation of every sinner. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what in the world I'm talking about? Have you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Oh, my friend, today, if you haven't, my hope is that something has been said, that the Lord God of heaven will stir your heart and cause you to sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. And my hope is that he will at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.